takanas chachamim to read a haftorah after the kriyas haftorah requires that the haftorah should be me'inyan haparsha. Not exactly me'inyan haparsha. It has to be me'inyan adiyoma. The minig used to be in the days of the Shulchan Aruch that when you had a chosin in the middle of Shivas Yimei Mishteh, they'd always laying sois osis for the haftorah, even though that was not connected with the Parsha Hashavua, because that was in Yonah D'Yomah, K'chosin Yechayim Pe'er, V'chakolot Tadeh Keileha. So it should be in Yonah D'Yomah, and Yonah D'Yomah is usually whatever is a theme that appears in the Parsha Hashavua. Once in a while, it doesn't have to be connected. The Haftarah Kedoshim that's printed in the Chumash is a machloikas, whether there's a machloikas. So this Haftarah that's printed, Hasishpot Asir Adomim, Ta'evus Yerushalayim, many communities in Europe had a minig that this is a ksiv alokri, that you never read this Haftarah. The Mishnah Megillah has a machloikas hatanaim. Apparently, whoever got maftir would pick a Haftarah of his choice and just had it correspond to in Yonah D'Yoma. So they would pick whatever Haftarah they wanted to say. So the Mishnah records a machlag zablez and a chachamim in the Mishnah Megillah. Are you permitted to be maftir b'to'evus Yerushalayim? So Blazer says you're not allowed to. You can pick whatever Haftarah you want, that's in Yonah D'Yoma, but not Te'evus Yerushalayim. Te'evus Yerushalayim is in Yecheskel. And the chachamim say that it's okay. So even though we pass on like the chachamim, the minig always was like Reb Blazer, not to do Te'evus Yerushalayim. The Gemara quotes Braisa, maybe a Tosefta there in Megillah, that once a balabos got maftir, and he decided it's going to be Te'evus Yerushalayim, and it was in Reb Blazer shul. Reb Blazer got very upset, so he screamed at him, "Atcha'ata bodek b'Te'evus Yerushalayim, say bedok b'Te'evus Imecha." Instead of speaking about the averis in Yerushalayim, why don't you check into your own family's background? And then the Tosefta, then the Braisa continues. They checked, and it turned out that he was a mamza, that his mother had been mezana, or his grandmother, someone had been mezana, and he was a mamza. What's wrong with Teves Yerushalayim? So the Pashta says that when the Navi was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give Tochochot Yerushalayim, that they violate Gilei Arayis, and they take Shechad, and they do very well, violate the laws of Nida, and they murder, and they steal, and they take ribis. Wow, you look at this Haftarah. They violate everything that it says in the Parsha. All the dinim in the Parsha are being violated. So the Navi had to deliver the Nevuah, and it's incorporated into the Tanakh, into the Kisra Kodesh. The Gemara says there were so many more Nevi'im, but only those Nevuahs were written in the Tanakh, that are Hutzvuchul Nevuah, Hutzvuchul Adairus. This is Hutzvuchul Adairus, that unfortunately, these are not just abstract dinim in the parsha. People really violate these dinim. So the Navi had to deliver the Tochocha, and he had to incorporate it into the Kisra Kodesh, is considered Hutzuchel Adoros. But that we should pick to recite this Haftarah, that's not right. Let's pick it. Instead of reading a Haftarah where we're giving Tochocha, what's wrong with the Jewish people, let's read a different Haftarah. The Levush on Orachayim writes that this is not the Haftarah that they were talking about Bechlal. He says the Haftarah that Rab Lezer disagrees and says Eim Haftim Tevis Rishalayim is a different Haftarah which is nearby. It's not this one from chapter Chabbeis in Yecheskel. It's nearby. Also, it starts off with a similar pasuk, Hasim Shpotis Hiradomim Hodaitis Toavoy Seho. But the reason why you're not allowed to read, the reason why Rab Lezer holds you're not allowed to read that Haftarah, is not because of Te'evus Yerushalayim, it's because in that Nevuah, the Navi says that there was something wrong with Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu. He says they raised their children improperly. If they would have been good parents, the sins would never have happened 2,000 years later. And the days of Bais Rishon and days of Bais Sheni, the descendants of Avraham and Sarah would never have sinned, and there's something wrong with our ancestors. So that's why Reb Lezer was opposed to Te'evus Yerushalayim. But after that's printed over here, this was never under dispute. That's what the Levush says. And some of the Chumashim don't print that according to Levush, it's okay. You can say this after. But the minig always was that this after is always avoided. Teves Yerushalayim, we don't follow that Levush. So this year, Parsha Sachri Mois was Shabbos HaGadol. So he said the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. We didn't say Halok Evnei Kushim. So the minig is that on Shabbos Kedoshim, we're going to say Halok Evnei Kushim. We're not going to say the Haftorah of Teves Yerushalayim. Or very often, Shabbos Parshas Kedoshim will be Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Or it'll be Erev Rosh Chodesh. So we're going to say the Haftarah HaShamayim Kisi. Or we're going to say Macha Chodesh. So we bump off this Haftarah at Teves Yerushalayim. Once in a long, long while, it turns out that there's nothing to push off Halok Evnei Kushim. There's nothing to push off the Haftarah of Teves Yerushalayim. So Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered from his part of Europe that they would say the same Haftarah 2 weeks in a row, Halok Evnei Kushim. They simply never said this Haftarah of Teves Yerushalayim. It's interesting, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a Talmud Chacham from Bnei Brak, Saroya Develitsky, who puts out, he used to put out every year a luach. So in his luach, he writes that that Rav Soloveitchik said that the meaning in Europe was that, and where he came from in Europe, that they said the same Haftarah 2 weeks in a row, they just never said this Haftarah. Rav Soloveitchik has in one of the collection of drushes, that was one of the volumes of collected drushes, so he points this out. But where he came from, the meaning was they never said it. It says, the Abu Dram writes, when you have Mechubarim, when you have two parshas together, so the two minhagim, where they say the Haftarah from the first parsha, the Haftarah from the second parsha, strictly speaking, doesn't really make a difference. Obviously, whether the Haftarah from the first parsha or the second parsha is mean Yonah Diyoma, it's connected with the parsha. But the two minhagim, where they say the Haftarah from the first or from the second. The common meaning in Shulchan Aruch is, the generally accepted meaning is, that you say the Haftarah from the second parsha, unless it's Achri Mois Kedoshim. Achri Mois Kedoshim, then we use that as an excuse to bump off Teves Yerushalayim. Then we say Halok Evnei Kushim. Usually we have a reason why we don't say it. Either it's Erev HaShchodesh or it's Veshchodesh, or this year Shabbos HaGadol was Achri Mois. So that's why we're going to say it. But even if you have, and even if you have a year where nothing pushed it off, so then Rav Soloveitchik said that he remembered where he came from. The minig was that that they would say Halok Evnei Kushim 2 weeks in a row. They simply wouldn't say that after. Achri Mois and Kedoshim have one theme in common. They have all of the dinim of Arayis. In Parshas Achri Mois, you have all of the Isurim listed, and it says at the end of the Parsha, whoever violates any of these dinim is Chayv Koris, the end of Achri Mois, Kikolo Shiasa, Mikolo Taibis, or Elu, Minichrusso Hanafosha Soises, Mikerev Amom, but it doesn't say any Oynish more than Koris. And then when you get to Parshas Kedoshim, you have all of the Arayis repeated again, and it spells out who's Skilo, who's Srefu, who's Chenek, who's which Oynishim you have. One of them is repeated, Baalachosa is repeated, even though Baalachosa is only Koris. So that's the Tanaim I'm working on that. Why is Achosa repeated in Parshas Kedoshim if nothing changed? The fact that this chorus already says in Parshas Achimaz, because it says, so why is Achosa repeated? If nothing has changed. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes HaTanaim. How are you supposed to understand why Achosa was repeated? One Tan is of the opinion, we don't pass like that, that Achosa is repeated, Laduna b'koris v'lo b'malkus, that whoever's chat, all the chavi krisis only have koris and there's no malkus. And this is derived from the fact, the Pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, that whoever is a Rasha gets malkus, v'hayom v'itzdikas ha-tzadik v'yeshivas ha-Rasha, v'hayom v'inakos ha-Rasha, so the Bezin gives malkus. Whoever is a Rasha gets malkus. Who is considered a Rasha? So the Gemara says, "And chumish dvarim vidarshin smuchim." If you have one pasuk next to another, if you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. We assume that there is certainly a connection. If you have two dinim and two pesukim one next to the other, that's a machlekes satanoim in the beginning of Yevamos around Davhei Davov, and we assume that you only darshin smuchim and chumish dvarim in Mishneh Torah. So this is one of the many famous drushes that's known through smuchim that. Who gets malchus? Whoever violates an aver, which is similar to lo sachsum shabedishay, because that's the pasuk that's right next to the hoyam bin akoyis harosha. So what's considered similar to Lasachsim Shabbat Isha? Whoever violates a lav is similar. So we pass and all chayvi krisis get malchus. That's similar. So one tan in the Gemara in Elohein Aloiken in the third parak in Makkos, one tan is of the opinion that not so. Lama, why is achoso repeated in Parshas Kedoshim? L'duna b'kores v'lo b'malchus, to teach her that all the chayvi krisis are not chayiv malchus. So we don't accept that opinion. So then it's a good question. Why is achoso repeated? So Gemara has a whole sugya. What did the other Tanoim do with this? Why was achoso repeated? When the arayas are introduced in Parsha Sachrimos, it starts off ishi shol kol she'er b'soroi l'sikrivu l'galas ervo. So the Minchas Chino points out that there are two technical terms that are used by the Chumash to speak of family. One is she'er bos and one is mishpacha. So whenever it's a din that depends on mishpacha, like Yerusha, it says when a person dies, the pasuk says mimishpachta v'yarashoisa. You give it to the closest relative in the mishpacha. So there, the Gemara points out that only mishpacha sab kriim mishpacha, mishpacha same any kriim mishpacha. The relatives from the mother's side are not considered mishpacha. The mother, let's say a son dies and there's no father, so the mother does not yarshin the son, because the mother is not related to her son. She's related mitam she'er basar, but she's not related mitam mishpacha. The arayas, some of the arayas on the father's side, some are on the mother's side. So that's why the Chumash introduces the Yisa by saying ishi shall call she'er b'saroi l'sikavu l'galas erva. It's a din of she'er basa, it's not a din of mishpacha. Mishpacha would have only been restricted to the father's side. But Gili Arayas is an Yisa that depends on she'er basa. It even includes the mother's side. There is a contradiction between two Gemaras and Yevamos that the Achronim all work on. The Gemara says that a Nachri Yarshins his father. That's a Gemara Kiddushin. In the first part of Kiddushin, a Nachri Yarshins his father. And then the Gemara says in Yevamos that Rachmana Afkere Elizare, that the father is not related to the son. By the Nachrim, the father is not related to the son. Zir Masusim, Zir Masam, Rachmana Afkere Elizare. That's a Gemara around Daftzad Zion in Yevamos. So Dorach Laner is the kash, and the Rashash is the kash, or the Achronim is the kash, Kavanor is the kash. How can you say that Rachman Afkari is not? But there's a din of Yerusha. So some of the Achronim suggest this teretz. So just like by Yos, we know that there's a difference between Mishpacha and Sher Basar. Maybe so by Yos, we usually assume that it's possible to be Sher Basar from the mother's side. Relatives from the mother's side are called Sher Basar, but it doesn't have a Chalashem Kurva of Mishpacha. So maybe by the Bnei Noach, by the Nochem, it's the reverse. The Gemara says, Rachmana Afkere Lizare, the Gemara, and the context over there, the Gemara is talking about Sher Basar, that there are no Krovim from the father's side by Bnei Noach, there are no Krovim from the father's side where there's an Issa Gili Arayis. Only Krovim from the mother's side, no Krovim from the father's side. And the Gemara says that the Bein is Yorish Yisaviv by Bnei Noach. So that's what some Achreinim suggest. Maybe just like by us, we distinguish between Mishpach and Sher Bas, and maybe by the Bnei Noach also. When the Gemara says that there's no Rachkamana Afkere Lizare, that the Nochri is not related to his son, he's not related in the sense of Sher Basar. There's no Issa Gil Eraz, but he is related in the sense of Mishpacha. The Mishpacha, Yerusha depends on Mishpacha, so that you do have. And Kurva, for the purposes of Gil Eraz, that depends on Sher Basar, that you don't have. Kasha is better than the Teretz. Anyway, that's the Achreinim at bottom of the Kasha. It's a steer between two Gemaras and Yevamos, whether by Bnei Noach, whether there's a Kurva from the mother's side. Nido is mentioned both in Achreimos and in Kedoshim, in the middle of all of the other relatives. So the Pashtus is that Nido is also Gili Arayis. Let's say Boal Mamzeres. That's not called Gili Arayis. A Kohen lives with a Grusha Zayna Chalola. That's not called Gili Arayis. That wouldn't be called the Harig Bal Yavar. Says Rabbi Kivege quotes from the Poskim. Yoharig Valyaba doesn't apply to Yisuri Bia. It only applies to Gilei Arayis. Gilei Arayis means Chavi Krisis. Rabbi Kivege quotes this in his comments on Yeridei. Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, the simen about Yoharig Valyaba. Not all Yisuri Bia are considered Gilei Arayis. So that's a big shaila. What about Nidna? Is Nidna Yoharig Valyaba or not? So there's a Tosis on the first daf in Yevamos, the Beis Amud Aleph, where Tosis is quoting the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that need does not gili arise. And in the Sefer Yosher, it has a long arichus on this. You have the Tosis on the first daf in Yevamos, the Beis Amud Aleph. Then you have the Tosis Hishonim printed on the side. And the whole thing is a kitzer of what the Rabbeinu Tam has in the Sefer Yosher, where he has this whole argument that need does not gili arise. It's an Issa Bia, but it's not gili arise. And the Rambam is beferish not so. The Rambam holds beferish that nida is gili arais and afkemina, whether you say harag val yaver by boala nida. In Yeridaya, the assumption hilchas nida, the assumption is that nida is gili arais, that they do discuss harag val yaver by a nida. The problem is that usually by gili arais the vlad will be a mamzer. By vlad meranida, the Gemara learns that from pasuk. The vlad is not a mamzer. Usually, enkidush and tobsin by arayis. A man is mekadosh and eshes ish. A man is mekadosh achosa ima bito. All any of the arayis that have kares is enkidush and tobsin. Kidush and atobsin mechay bilavin. We paskin against Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds enkidush and tobsin even mechay bilavin, and we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says we paskin like Shimon Atimani that enkidush and tobsin only mechay bikrisis. And the vlad is only a mamza by chai b'krisa. So from the fact that by nida, you have these two dinim, kiddush and atopsin b'nida. A man gives a ring to a nida, says, Ariat m'kudeshesli, kiddush and atopsin. A man is boal a nida and they have children. So the Gemara says the vlad will be missing something. It will be a chotzuf, he won't have nida's titus, but he's not considered a mamzer. A vlad ben a nida is not considered a mamzer. The Gemara has a lashon, the vlad is pogum. So some of the Achreinim thought that Vladis Pogam means that it's also the Kahuna. So the other Achreinim say it's a mistake. The Beis Shmuel talks about it. It's not the Ben Anida, it's not also the Kahuna. Vladis Pogam means it'll have Midas Megunas. It may or may not have Midas Megunas. But it doesn't mean it's also the Kahuna. That's not what it means of Vlad Pogam. So that's the issue. The fact that a Boal Anida, Kiddush and Atovsin, and the Vlad is not a Mamzer, is that it's clearly and nonetheless there's Kares. So it is an exception to the rule. The question is, it's an exception to which rule? It means despite the fact that it's not arayis, it's still kares. A person eats chametz b'pesach, a person does malach on Shabbos, there's also kares. A person eats on Yom Kippur, there's kares. It's not every kares is gili arayis. But the question is, a kares by yisad biyah does not mean that it's gili arayis. So either it means that it's not gili arayis, or it means not. Despite the fact that boal anid is gili arayis, the vlad is not a mamzer, kiddush and atovsin. So that's the machlok, is the Rambam in the Tosfos. The Rambam writes a few times explicitly. The Rambam in the Tshuvas Ramban, that's quoted in Yoredei and Hilchas Nida, they say explicitly that Nida is arayis and there's an issue of Yehorek Val Yava there. And the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. He holds that there's no Yehorek Val Yava, that Boala Nida is not considered Gil Arayis. So that's the problem, but it's in the middle of the whole parsha. They're kroivim before and kroivim after. But you look in the parsha, you have other things also. You have Mishka Behema. Mishka Behema l'choladeis, the Rishonim say is not, is koreis. It says b'teresh is koreis, but that's not called gili arayis. You have Neisim Mizara l'moloch is also mentioned in the middle of all the relatives over here. Neisim Mizara l'moloch is a different issue. It's not gili arayis. It's mentioned together. So just because of the fact that Nido is in the middle of everything is not necessarily, it sounds very much that it's an error, but it's not necessarily such a proof. One of the prohibited relatives that does have an Oinash Misa is Chamoso. Chamoso. Isho Abito. A man marries a woman, so he's not allowed to live with her daughter. A man marries a girl, he's not allowed to live with her mother. Isha Bita, yeah. So Chamoso is a Sreifa. Isha Bita is a Sreifa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a machloika satanaim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. What's doing Chamoso lachamisa sishto? A man was married, and then his wife dies, and now he wants to marry his mother-in-law. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's the exact same Einish Misa, same Sreifa, whether the wife is still alive or not alive. And we don't pass like Rabbi Shmuel, we pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, Chamos alacha misa sishtoi, there's no oinish misa. So Rashi adds on, Rashi and the Ramban, all the Rishonim add on, Chamos alach misa zishta, there's no misa, but there is an isa. There is an isa. Many hold, there's a machlokes, whether there's karis or there's no karis. Rashi holds that there's no karis. Rashi holds that the prohibition of chamos alach misa zishta is based on the pasuk in Chumash Dvarim, or shochev im chosanto. When they came in Teretz Yisrael on the days of Yishua ben Nun, so they had to recite the 11 brachas of klalos, the arurim, the 11 brachas of klalos of Hagriz Maharevo. So one of them is Orer Shochev im Chosanto. So Rashi in his commentary on the Gemara assumes that what do you need all those psukim for? Isn't it just to repeat all those dinim, all the 11 arurim, say already in other places in Chumash? Rashi has a premise which is very interesting assumption. Rashi assumes that the arurim must be adding on something that you didn't know before. So from the psukim in Acharim Ois Kedoshim, all you know is Yishu Bita when his wife is still alive. Chamos Alach HaMisas Ishtoi is there's no pasuk, so that's added on. Ora Shachevim Chosanto, that Ora doesn't have any chorus. And the Ramban disagrees, many Rishonim disagree, and they say, no, that's not what it means over there. It's based on the parsha, the Ptura, Bekiva holds Chamos Alach HaMisas Ishtoi. There's no Misa, it's only a miut from Misa, but there will be Kuris. Nafkamina will be whether you'll be Chayiv Chatos or not. So here in the New York area, there was an incident years ago. There was a family who were not too observant, they never came to shul all year long. And then they came to shul, they wanted to bar mitzvah their son. So the rabbi was asking some details. So it turns out that the son was from the husband's second marriage. After his wife died, the husband married his mother-in-law. The mother-in-law was a few years older than him. The wife was 15 years younger than him. After the wife died, so he married his mother-in-law, was a few years older than him. And then they had the child, they had the son. It was Chamos Alach HaMisas Ishtoi. So this Rav was a big Tam Chacham, he's still alive, I think. No, he passed away. The one who wrote the tshuva passed away. So he wrote a whole tshuva about this, where the child becomes bar mitzvah, whether he's a mamzer or not. He is bar mitzvah. He can give him an aliyah, that's not a shaila. But the shaila was whether the child is a mamzer or not. So the pashtus is that it should depend whether there's chorus or not. According to Rashi, chamos alach misas ishtoi, there's no chorus, it's only a lav. And according to the other Rishonim, according to the Ramban, there is chorus. So the pashtus is whether the vlad is a mamzer or not should depend whether there's chorus. So this Talmud Chacham quotes Achronim, Doruch Laner, and others who have a whole dispute. Some say that even according to Rashi that there's no chorus, there'll still be a vlad mamzer because it started off as an Issa chorus. Hamos should have been an Issa chorus. Hamos alach misis hishta is a miut. And other Achronim say the reverse. Even if Yodara does have chorus, but the Issa was weakened, the Harai that there's no longer any Misa. So therefore, even if you hold that there is chorus, maybe there shouldn't be avlad mamzer. So it's an interesting discussion, interesting machlokes, and it came up halacha l'maaseh. Everything comes up halacha l'maaseh. Mishkav Zohar, you have some people who claim to be orthodox, and they think that the pasuk doesn't mean what it says. The pasuk means what it says. And Mishkav Zohar is an isa misa. Anisa Karis with Anisa Misa. No two ways about it. We have the Torah Shabbat Peh has traditions, and they spell out explicitly all of these very graphically. The Gemara describes what is Mishkav Zohar. So it means what it means today. Mishkav Zohar. Mishka Behema is not Yehar Gval Yavah. The Gemara says Ein Znus LeBehema. That's a strange Maisa. It's Anisa Karis like eating Anyam Kippah is Anisa Karis. Mishka Behema is not called Gilya Rice, but Mishkav Zohar. The Rishonim say is considered Gilya Arayis. The assumption that Rashi made that whatever is listed in the Arurim, the Yud Aleph Arurim, must be adding something on, is a very fascinating assumption. One of the other psukim there is Or Masik Gvul Reyehu V'Amar Kol Ha'amamein Asogas Gvul. So usually Masik Vol Reya usually means if you steal karka in Eretz Yisrael. So it's usually assumed, it's usually used as a Yiddish expression, maybe as a Hebrew expression, okay, that if a Masik Vol means if I ruin your business, I go into competition with you and I Masik Vol on you, I take away your parnasa. So that's a question, is that really included or not? So some hold, some of the Gedolim in Europe wrote the Torah on this, that the assumption of the Rashi seems to be, assumption of the Rashi by Chamos Halacha Mises Hishtoi seems to be, that all of the Arur must be adding something on, and over and above what it already says on the other Psukim. So that's why it's assumed that Masa Gloriehu, it even includes Hasagas Gul, not stealing Karka and Eretz Yisrael. The previous Psukim in Chumash that speak about Asas Gloriehu Menachal Oschav Shetinchal only goes on stealing Karka and Eretz Yisrael. And Masa Gloriehu, that's in Parshas Kisava, the Yud Aleph Arurim, includes much more than that, what we call Masa Gvul. Then you have to, this is a new Chiddush that Rashi has, you have to go through all of the Yud Aleph Arurim, try to figure out each one, what is it adding on that we didn't know before? What's being added on? It's a very interesting assumption. One of the prohibitions in the Parsha in Achrei Mois and Kedoshim is Achois Ishtoi. In Parsha Sakhama it says, V'isha lachos ala sikach litzror legalus arvos aleha b'chayehom. And it says that this Koris, so the Torah Shebal Peh has a tradition that it goes on marrying my wife's sister while the wife is still alive. Litzra leho b'chayeha. Litzra means, it says, b'chayeha, when the wife is still alive. If I divorce my wife, I'm not allowed to marry her sister. It's the same as a Koris. But if the wife died, so achos ishto lacha mises ishto is hetegoma. That's permissible. In fact, there used to be such a meaning in Europe, that if a man would be married and he had children and his wife would die and there was a younger sister, there was a single sister, so they would encourage the girl to marry her brother-in-law because the aunt usually helps take care of the nieces and the nephews. So they would hold up the funeral. If the girl wouldn't agree to marry her brother-in-law, they would hold up the funeral till they would convince her. That was a strange practice, but there was such a practice that they would pressure the girl. So this is the way the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh has it, that Isha Lachos Elasikach refers to marrying your wife's sister. The Karaim had their own perspective on religion. Everything was different. So they interpreted Isha Lachos means you're not allowed to have two wives. We assume that it's a Chem Derab Ben Gershon. That it was only in the days of the Rishonim that they introduced this prohibition. Yeah, Mishnayis at the end of the second parak in Yevamos, the two Mishnayis at the end of the second parak, it's clear that it was rare in the days of the Tanoim. It was rare that a man would have two wives. And you have Dinah based on that assumption, that it's probably not going to marry two wives. Therefore, you have certain kulas based on that assumption. But was there a prohibition? There was no prohibition. To the days of the Rabbi Negershim, he made an Issa. So the Karoim interpreted that's what the Pasuk means. Isha Lachoisa is a metaphor. It doesn't mean a sister. And they proved that everything they said is wrong. They proved that, like all the Bible scholars today, they give their own original interpretation, the word over here and the word over there. By comparing the word appears. Isha Lachoisa says by the Yerios. How does it say? You should have, these Yerios are sewed together, Isha Lachoisa, it says. Six areas were sewed together, and six areas were sewed together, then there were clasps and hooks to hold them all together. So the expression achos that appears over there doesn't mean a sister. It's not a person bechlal. Achos means one area next to the other area. So just like over there, achos doesn't mean a sister. Over here also doesn't mean a sister. It means a similar wife. No, needless to say, that's not correct. The original interpretation is not correct. The Mechilta has it by an Eved Ivri. It says in Madonna Yitin Lo Isha Isha Achas V'Lo Shtei Noshim. There it's a din deraisa, and Evidiri is muta b'shiv chaknayne. He can only give him one to a customer. They can't give two shiv. Bad enough that you give him one shiv chaknayne. So there the Mechilta says that's a din deraisa. You can't give the Evidiri. The Odin has a right. Rabbi Moshe Lo Shiv Chaknayne in order to have lotus. He wants to have more of Odin, but he's not allowed to give him more than one shiv chaknayne. But here, if it's not, you're not talking about an Evid. Every marrying a Shivcha Knainis, here it's only a Chem de Rabbeinu Gershom. Chem de Rabbeinu Gershom says the Shulchan Aruch is over B'Sofa Elef. So B'Sofa Elef meant in the year 5000. That was 771 years ago, it was over. I remember there were those when I was about 10 years old. They were writing the Jewish Pest wasn't born yet, didn't exist. Jewish Week certainly didn't exist yet at that time. So there's some other Anglo-Jewish newspapers. So they were writing with great joy that the cherem is soon going to be over. They misunderstood. They thought the Rabbeinu Gershom made the cherem for 1,000 years. So for how Rabbeinu Gershom have Ruach HaKodesh to know what life is going to be in another 1,000 years? Rabbeinu Gershom made for a few years. I'd say for Aleph till the end of the 1,000, till the year 5,000. He lived years, a few years before Sofer Aleph. He said, looking into the future, 100, 200 years, he thinks that we should ask her, to marry two wives. So the Chem was over in the year 5,000. Then the Shulchan Aruch has a machlokes, the Mechaba and the Ramah, do we still observe the Chem mitam minim? The Mechaba says the Chem was over, it's over, goodbye. That cherem, the other cherem, not to divorce your wife, al-korchoi, that had no time limit. He made the other charamim, not to read other people's mail. They have 24 charamim are listed. And Yeridea, Chela Gimel, towards the end of Yeridea, Chela Gimel, they have a list. There's a whole segment about cherem, and nidui, and shamto. So the Be'er HaGolah gives you the whole list of all of the 24 charamim that the Rabbeinu Gershom made. So this one, the Ramor writes at the Minig by the Ashkenazim is that although the Cherem is no longer valid, the Cherem was over already, but the Minig is that we don't take Nosei Yisha Alishtoi, and if someone wants to marry another wife, we have the right to put him in Cherem to pressure him not to. But he's not automatically in Cherem from the days of the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Cherem is off already. But that's the pasuk. Yeah, the Karoyim had their own interpretation on a lot of psukim in Tanakh. This is one of their original interpretations. In Parsha Sachri Mois, when the Torah lists off all of the prohibitions, so the expression that's used is La Sikavu Lagala Serva. It always says La Sikavu Lagala Serva. I remember when my father-in-law was on his deathbed in the hospital, so he wasn't wearing pajamas. He had this. Sick people in the hospital, very sick people in the hospital. So the doctor came into the room and he wanted to check something on my father-in-law. So he was asking everybody to leave the room. So he said, "Who are you? Are you a son? Are you a son?" I said, "I'm a son-in-law." He said, "Okay, you can stay." So he didn't know what was he talking about. Why did he send them out? Why did he? So he said, "So pasuk in Chumash, you're not allowed to see your father's nakedness. And he's got to uncover the body of the patient now. So I'm a son-in-law. So there's no prohibition." But whoever was a son or a daughter, you're not allowed to uncover their nakedness. That's a nice idea. That's kibbutz. But that's not what the pasuk l'sikav l'gal zera means. Tashmish. It doesn't mean to uncover the nakedness of the body. By yeshesish, the pasuk writes it differently. By all the other arai says l'sikav l'gal zera. By yeshesish it says eleshes hamischa l'sitin shchop tochol l'zora l'tamavo. It's in Parsha Sachri Mois, it has like that. And Pasuk Chof towards the end of the Parsha. So that's what in the last century, when they, 100 years ago, when they developed artificial insemination. It was over 100, yeah, about 100 years ago. Rabbi Yosef Engel talks about it. He died 100 years ago. Yosef Engel talks about artificial insemination. So one of the Gdolim came up with an Einfall that artificial insemination and into an Eshesish will be. And he said, "There I said." That's what it says. It doesn't say "Lasikavu Lagala Serva." It says "Aleishes Hamischa Lasitin Shechav Tuchal Zara." He said, "You shouldn't put the Shechav Zara from another person into an Eshesish." So the Sri Deyesh has a tshuva where he talks about artificial insemination. He says that we don't have the knack of darshaning psukim. That art was lost already. He says it's a nice word, but we don't assume like that. That's where Moshe Feinstein assumes that there's no isim. There's no isim in artificial insemination, even in an ishish. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. It's very striking. How then? Why is the pasuk like that? I'm not sure. But he assumed that that's not what it means. I don't know. Good question. How can it be? It's just not so. The halachas gedoyla is counts the lava veishes ish three times, because there's a different punishment. If the girl is a naira hamarasa, so the punishment is gila. If the girl is a baskoyin, shezinsa, the punishment is sreifa. And if the girl is a plane, shezish nesua, then the punishment is chenet. So the halachas gedolas counts it as three different lavim. That a naira hamarasa shouldn't be mezana, a nesua shouldn't be mezana, and a baskoyin shouldn't be, who's married, shouldn't be mezana. So the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvah disagrees with the halachas gedolas. He says, just because the punishments are different, is no reason why you should count it as three different lav. And basically, it's all eishes eishes in, so it's one lav, and it shouldn't be counted as three lav. So the Ramban is masig on the Rambam that the Rambam himself violates his own klal. The Rambam counts as a posik in today's sedra, loisi kal ocherish, lefnei ver loisi tei mechsho. It's posik yudalit from the beginning of Kedoshim. Loisi kal ocherish. Loisi kal ocherish means not even allowed to curse a deaf man who can't hear. If you curse a person who does hear and he gets aggravated, so for sure it's included. It means even a deaf man, even a deaf person, you're not allowed to curse. So one is Mekal Chaver B'Shem, the Gemara says it's like it. If you curse another fellow Jew, you get Malkus. If you curse Avivimo, so the Pasuk says at the end of the Parsha, Ish Ki Kalove Yisima Mos Yumas, there's an Oynish Misa. So the Rambam counts the Lav, Losa Kal Cheresh twice. You're not allowed to have Mekalel Odom Yisrael is like it, and Mekalel Aviv Imoi, it gets Misa. So the, and then the Ramban has two, that's one Kasha, then the Ramban has another Kasha. The Pasuk says, M'chumish Dvarim, that when a person is a Rosha and he deserves a Malkus, the Hippiel Shabbat called the Fana Kedei Rosh Hashanah B'Mispar, you should give him exactly the Malkus that the Dayanim Paskin that he deserves. Then it says, L'yosef L'akosa, Pen Yosef L'akos, Nikla Chich Le'inecha. You're not allowed to give him extra Malkus. And so the Bezin says 39 Malkus, you're not allowed to give a 40th Malkus. So the Bezin says 9 Malkus, and he gives a 10th one if he can't take 39. So the Bezin will pass him, give him 9 Malkus, give him 12 Malkus, whatever. So then if you give an extra Halko, then you're over on a Lav. So that's the Lav of Makkah Chaver. Chevel B'Chaver is over on the Lav, Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. So the Rambam counts that twice. Maka Chavera, Maka Adam Yisrael, and Maka Aviv Ima. Maka Aviv Ima is Chayv Misa, and Maka Chavera is Chayv Tashlumin, or sometimes Chayv B'Chaver Pachas Mishavet Pruto. The Gemara says is like it. So the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvot is Masig on the Rambam that the Rambam violated his own klal. The Rambam disagreed the Halachas Gedolos that the Bahag counts Loisinov three times, the Lava Veshesish is three lavim, one by Naira Hamarasa because it's Kila, one by Baskan Shazinsa Srefa, one by Nasur because it's Chenik. And the Rambam says just because the Onshim are different, there's no reason why it should be counted more than once. And here, the Rambam by these two lavim, Loisa Kal Cherish and Loyos Ben Yosef, the Rambam counts it twice. Because once it sometimes gets Malka, sometimes gets Misa. The Mishnah Melech has this little kuntris that's called Derech Mitzvah Secha, where he lists off what are the differences between the Rambam and the Ramban and the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and what are the differences between the Sefer HaChinuch and the Rambam. Once in a while the Smag is a little different from the Rambam. So it's a light discussion. There's no major essays there, brief comments. So he points out, Mishnah HaMelech points out there, that there are another two Lavim, that the Ramban should have been Masig on the Rambam, that the Rambam counts twice. One lav is the pasuk Elohim loisa kalel in Parshas Mishpatim, which the Rambam counts twice. One is that's a lav for Megadeth Es Hashem, and Megadeth Es Hashem gets a skila. And once it's a lav for Hamakala Dayan Misa, the person has smicha. It's called Nikabalabais Elhu Elohim. Elohim Loshen Chol means a Dayan who has smicha. So Mekala Dayan Yisrael is like a. So the Rambam counts the lav twice because sometimes you get Malkus and sometimes you get Misa. If you curse a Dayan, then you get Malkus. If you curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it's Misa. So again, that's a third lav that the Rambam counts twice. Then there's another passing in Parshas Mishpatim, which the Rambam counts twice. Shmosi lemachem leis askir leisham al picha. You're not allowed to mention the name of an Avodah Zarah. So you're not allowed to swear the name of an Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam counts it twice. because the Chumash has a din, Hamesis Adam Yisrael, if I try to convince someone else to worship Avet Zara, so I get the death penalty. The Mesis, or the Mediach, Mesis Sayachid, Mediach HaSarabim, so there's an Einish Misa. So the Gemara says, where is there a lav? Where does it say in the Chumash? Lifnei L'Sitei Michshol. Where is there a lav for a Mesis Adam Yisrael? The Gemara says, the lav is from this Pasuk, you're not allowed to mention the Avodah Zarah in the context of trying to convince someone else to worship Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam counts that laugh twice. It's a laugh of Mesis, and one is Mesis, Avodah Zarah gets Misa, and it's also a laugh of Nishba B'Shem Avodah Zarah. When it swears in the name of an Avodah Zarah, gets Malkus. So the Rambam violated his own clause. The Rambam disagreed with the Bahag, and here he counts four lavim twice. So on the side of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, you have the Megillas Esther, who always comes to defend the Rambam. Megillas Esther was written by a man whose mother passed away. His mother's name is Esther. So he says he's going to print, his mother passed away, he wants to memorialize her, so he calls it Megillas Esther. Could have been written by a woman, it's also good. But it happens that it was written by a man. So he always defends the Rambam. Right or wrong, the Rambam's always right. Like the Migdalois. Right or wrong, the Rambam is always right, and the Rambam never makes any sense. So most of the time he has a good defense of the Rambam, not the Migdalois. Migdalois is problematic. The Mashal writes about the Migdalois, he violated Baal Tashchis on the paper. He should have not written a Sefer. Mashal has sharp lashonis on some of the commentaries. But he was known as a holy tzaddik. The Migdalois married the Almana of the Ritva. So the Ritva is much more learned than the Migdalois. But they claim that the Almana said that the second husband was a greater tzaddik than the first husband. And that both were named Yontif. The Ritva's name was Rabbeinu Yontif, Ibn Ashbeli, and the Migdalois was also Rabbeinu Yontif. So she said, Yantav Rishon v'gabi Yantav Sheni k'chol shavio Rabbanan. Gemara has an expression, the reverse. Then a Yantav Sheni v'gabi Meis, Yantav Sheni, if there's a funeral, the second of Yantav, you're allowed to do all the malachas that are necessary. Yantav Sheni v'gabi Meis k'chol shavio Rabbanan. So she said, sizing up the two husbands, no one would know. We just know that the Ritva knew how to learn much better than the Migdalois. Ritva was not a Baal Tashchis on the paper. Ritva was Meiridik. But she said the second husband was a bigger tzaddik than the first husband. Okay. Anyway, so you have the Megillas Esther is the running commentary. He always defends the Rambam. Usually he does a good job. Once in a while, not so gilaldi. So on this Hasogas HaRamban, why the Ramban is masking on the Rambam, why he counts Lez Kal Cheresh twice, why he counts Le Yosef B'Yosef twice, Mako Ava V'Yimoy, and Mako Adam Yisrael. So he quotes the Tashbetz from the Zohar HaRakia. Zohar HaRakia is a commentary on the Asharis of Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabiro. In the days of the Rishonim, it was a popular thing to write a Sefer HaMitzvahs, a Minyan HaMitzvahs, a poem. Rav Sadigan wrote a poem that has all of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabiro lived in Spain. So he wrote a poem, Asharis. So the Zohar HaRakia was written by the Tashbetz as a running commentary on the Asaras of Shlomim Gabir, and he writes a little bit about the Rambam, different things. So he comes to be Miyashiv Diskasha. So he says, the Hasagas HaRambam on the Bahag was because all three get Misa. The Naira Hamarasa gets Skila, the Baskoin Shazinsa gets Sreifa, and the Eshesish Nesua gets Chenik. So they're all Misa. So the Bahag thought that it's three Lavim, and the Rambam thinks that that's not right. It should be included all in one Lav. But over here, the Rambam holds that Lesed Kal Cheresh, how can it be that you have a lav that sometimes has Malka, sometimes has Nisa? These are two different types of lavim. There's no difference between a lav that gets Skila, Srefa, or Chenek. It's a lav Chomer. But if you have a lav that sometimes gets Malka, sometimes it gets Nisa, how could that be? The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, quotes that passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. We don't have this in the Bavli. Bavli holds Fakir. But the Rambam has adopted the position of the Yerushalmi that the Soyer HaMishtaleach, when Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikam, the Soyer HaMishtaleach is Mechaper sometimes even without Tshuva. The Bavli seems to assume you never get, the Rambam has this cloud, you never get Kapora without doing Tshuva. where the on Yom Kippur is not mechaber machlokes hatarayim. Rabbi holds Yom Kippur is mechaber bein osu tshuva bein loy osu tshuva, and we most of the Rambam and most of the Rishonim assume that that's not the accepted opinion. Some of the Gaonim adopted that position. They thought that we should accept Rebbe's opinion that Yom Kippur is mechaper even l'shenim sham. What's enough kamina for us? We'll find out when we go to the Bezon Shalmaila. The Yom Kippur was mechaper l'shenim sham. There's no enough kamina aloch l'maisa for us. It's enough kamina for Bezon Shalmaila. So the Rambam adopts the position Yom Kippur is only mechaper if he did shuv. And then he says, and Mises Bezen also, they tell, the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, they would tell the person who's going to get the death penalty, you better say vidu, you better do tshuva, that if you don't say vidu, you won't get a kapur. And a person is about to get malchus, better say vidu, because otherwise the malchus will not be mechaper for him. And a person who brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdosh, he better do tshuva. If he doesn't do tshuva, the Rambam says there's no kapur. Then he generalizes, no kapur, that's what the Pnei Yeshua has a famous comment. The Minkacha was very anti-Zionist. So he writes in one of his tshuvas that these Zionists are such a pikursim, they think they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael and they'll get Mechilas Avoinas. The Gemara says in the end of Ksubas, V'chipar Adnosa Amoy, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Hazinu, the last line in Hashir's Hazinu, V'chipar Adnosa Amoy, that whoever walks in Eretz Yisrael, Dalan Amos, gets a Mechilas Avoinas. So he says, that's only if you do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, you don't get Mechilas Avoinas. He says that Mincha Saluza quotes that his elder Zayda, the Pnei Yeshua, he writes as he's descendant from the Pnei Yeshua. He says the Pnei Yeshua writes like that, that there's no Mechilas Avinus if you don't do tshuva. Even going in Eretz Yisrael is only Mechaper if you do tshuva. So the Rambam writes this by Riches in the first parak in Hilchas Tshuva, there's never any kapur unless you do tshuva. But then he quotes the Rishonim that the Soyer Meshtaleh, his bunch of his Amigdush Haikayim, was mechaper ala kalois beli tshuva. The Rambam distinguishes between kalos and chamuras. Isurim chamurim and isurim kalos. So what constitutes isurim chamurim? The two different categories of averus. So isurim chamurim is when there's mises bezin, and isurim kalos when there's no mises bezin. So that's what the Zohar Harakiya writes. The Rambam was bothered with this lav. You have a lav loisa kal cherish. So which category does it belong under? Is it from Yisurim HaChamurim or from Yisurim HaKalim? So a Mekala lo v'vi'ima gets an oinish misa, and it's based on this law, it's Kal Cherish. Mekala, the misa gets Malkus. So which is it? Is it an Issa Kal or is it an Issa Chomer? So that's what the Rambam understood. It must be that the tradition, the Torah Shebaal Peh has a tradition that it's two lavim. One is an Issa Kal, one is an Issa Chomer. He said that's the answer to all the four kashas. All four, Yosef Ben Yosef, sometimes gets Malkus, sometimes gets Misa. Makov Vima gets Misa. And the other one also, Lehim Loise Kalo. So it's the law for Megadev, and it's the law for Mekalo Dai. Mekalo Dai gets Malkus. Megadev is Hashem gets Misa. So it can't be in one law. So that's what the Rambam held. There must be two law. And the same thing, Amesis gets Misa. And on Nishba B'Shem Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says, gets Malkus. And it's both based on the same Pasuk. How can it be that one lav, sometimes it gets Malkus, sometimes it gets Misa? Either it's an Issa Chomer or it's an Issa Kal. So that's what the Rambam held. In these four cases, not that the Rambam contradicts himself. The Rambam could have contradicted himself also, the world wouldn't come to an end. But people make mistakes. Look, human beings make mistakes. So the Mazorah here thinks it's not a contradiction. He says there's a mahalach over here. The Rambam only disagreed with the Bahag, where all of the punishments are all Misa, just the different forms of Misa. One is Skila, one is Srefa, one is Chenex, and then it counts as one law. But if sometimes you get Malka, sometimes you get Misa, and the Rambam holds in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva that this is an Issa Kal, this is an Issa Chamor, so it must be that the two Isurim.
If one's parents are deaf and they curse them, do you still get Misa? If they're two different lavin.
Yeah.
So you can learn one after the other?
They're both from the same pasuk, yeah. It's just that you count it twice. Lesa kal cherish means not even allowed to curse a deaf person if he's of Adam Israel, and not even allowed to curse a deaf parent. The same pshat. On one level it goes on the parents, on one level it goes on kol Adam Israel. The Gemara in the end of Makkos has a comment on the pasuk in the end of the parsha. Lo sakifa pas roshchem. Why does it say in plural? So the Gemara says it's an Isser on the Makif and an Isser on the Nikif. If you have a Jewish barber and he shaves off my payas, so the customer is over on the lav and the barber is over on the lav. They're both over. That's why it says Lo Sakifum. The Shaila is, but then the pasuk continues, Lo Sashchis says Pe'asik Onecho. That says in the singular. Ashchosas Pas HaZokan is with a. We usually assume that's only with a razor. Minatera, the Gemara says only Hashchos is only with a razor. The Sakifa Pas Roshchem, that's a Machloikis. So the Tosefta, the Raman Paskins like the Tosefta, that the love of shaving off the payas is only violated if you use a razor. If you use a scissors or use whatever kind of a shaver you use on your beard, so that according to the Rambam, you're allowed to use it on the payas as well. And Taisa shows that the Babli holds not so. The Babli and Nazir holds that Hakofas Pasar Rosh is Osir, even without tar. Even without, that's the way it says in Yeridei. We don't follow that Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that you should paskan like that, that the Seft is befamished like that. The love of Los Akif Pasar Roshchem is only with a raisin. So the question is, the drosha of the Gemara was based on the Loshen Rabim. Los Akifu is a Loshen Rabim, a lav on the makif and a lav on the nikif, but by Hashchos is pas hazokan, and only says Los Ashchis pasik vanecha. So maybe there one should suggest that they're not both in violation of the lav. Let's say you have a Jewish barber, and he has a Jewish customer, and the Jewish customer says, I want you to shave off my beard with a razor. So he shaves it off. So maybe the lab is only on the one who's doing the hashchasa. Maybe a lab is only on the barber, no lab on the customer. That's a question. So there is a ravid. The sefer hamitzvahs laharambam is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. Years ago, it was always printed as part of the Mishnah Torah, and then the Chasam Sofer claims that the printers wanted to make more money. So they printed the Sefer HaMitzvahs with the Ramban and with the Megillah Esther, with the Lev Samech, with the Maran Issa Tova, with so many commentaries on the page, and they decided to sell it as a separate book, no longer part of the Mishnah Torah. So they would sell the Mishnah Torah separately to make more money, and then they would sell this separately. So the Chasam Sofer complains about the fact that the people didn't have so much money, so they didn't bother to buy a Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Talmid, there are a lot of things that only say in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. There are a lot of things in the Rambam that he only writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. There are a lot of things in the Ramban that we only know from his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He never writes it anywhere else. So it's very rich. So the Chasam Sofer complains about the fact that the printers wanted to make a few extra dollars, so they printed it. Now, in recent years, they put it together. Yeah, this one has, in the beginning of Chelek Aleph, has the Sefer HaMitzvahs. That's the way it always used to be. Some Sofer complains that the Talmid HaChachamim are missing out on learning because of the fact that they're missing the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHarambam. So we have, just like we have Hasagas HaRavid on the whole Mishnah Torah, so there are Hasagas HaRavid on the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. So you have the Ravid, the way it's printed, says, he comments on this, Lav La Makif, Lav La Nikif, Lav La Mashchis, Velo La Nishchas. We don't know what he wants. So some of the commentaries explain that the Ravid meant to bring out this distinction, that the whole drasha of the Gemara, Lo Sakif or Loshen Rabim, is Lav La Makif, Lav La Nikif. That's only by Pas HaRosh. By Pas HaZakan is only Lav La Mashchis V'lo La Nishchas. There's only a Lav on the barber who shaves off the beard. There's no Lav on the customer who has his beard shaved off. It's usually assumed that that's a misprint in the Ravid. That's the way it's printed in the Ravid. Lav la makif, lav la nikaf, lav la mashchis, velo la nishchas. So the later commentaries say they think that that's a mistake. They should check in the manuscripts. They should look now. I never looked in the new edition of the Rambam. They checked all the manuscripts for the Ravid also. So it's usually assumed that that's a misprint. That it should say, the Ravid is saying, Lav la mashchis, v'lav la nishchas, not v'lo la nishchas. Lav la mashchis, v'lav la nishchas. The Ravid holds that it should be counted as two lavin. The Ravid is masig on the Rambam. The Rambam counts cutting off the payas as one lav, and cutting off, shaving off the beard as one lav. So the Ravid is masig on the Rambam. He should have counted each one as two lavin. Lav la makif, lav la nikaf. And lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas. You should have counted two lavim over there also, because that's the way it says b'feirish in the Tosefta. It says that even though this is written in singular, lo sashchis, But just like Lo Sta'kifu, which is written in plural, it's the same pasuk, pasuk Chav Zayin, towards the end of Kedoshim. Just like Lo Sta'kifu is written by Loshim Rabbim, and it goes both on the Makif and on the Nikif, so Lo Sta'shchis also, even though it's written in the singular, also goes on both. Lav La Mashchis v'lav La Nishchos, they're both in violation of the law, they both get Malkus. That was the Hasakas arrived. Why the Ramam didn't count them as two Lavim? Lav La Machkif, Lav La Nikif, Lav La Mashchis v'lav La Nishchos. The Ramam holds note that it should be counted as one Lav. The beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, you have the din of Moira Aviyim, and Aseres Adibus have Kabedos Adicha Vesimecha. And in Parshas Kedoshim have Ishimel Vyaviv Tiro, Moira Aviyim. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote, the Brisa Ezu Kibud Be Ezu Moira. So the Brisa explains Kibud really means service. Moira means to show respect, to show honor. You shouldn't sit in your parents' seat, and you shouldn't call your parents by the first name. That's out of respect for the parents. So that's mor aviyim. And kibud aviyim means machilo, mashkeo, manilo, marchitzo, socho. Your father needs a ride somewhere. He needs someone to go shopping. Your mother needs some help to take the garbage down, and so on. So that's kibud. Kibud means service, and mor aviyim means respect. Why is it put together in the same pasuk with Shapsoisa Tishmoiru? Ishima Levitura Shapsoisa Tishmoiru. So in the Gemara, beginning of Yomis, has a comment. It's from the Sifra on this pasuk. Although I am instructing you regarding Moir Aviyim, a Kibbut Aviyim, fine, but you're not allowed to be Mechal al Shabbos. Rashi Achumish quotes it. If the father asked, he really goes on Kibbut, not Amor. The father asked me, could I please make him a cup of coffee? Listen, my father's not religious. He asked me to make him a cup of coffee on Shabbos. So I'm not allowed to cook the coffee on Shabbos, because that's a malacha. So kibud aviyim, even though we usually have a rule, eser decha lo isesei, so here it tells me kibud aviyim is not decha shmira Shabbos. There's a whole discussion in the first sugya in Yevamos. There's a long sugya about eser decha lo isesei. So the Gemara explains why it's not the case over here. Why is the essay of kibud aviyim not decha de lo isesei of Shabbos? Whole discussion, different explanations, why. Yeah, what if that's because my father asked me, could you please cook me a cup of coffee? So that's kibud aviyim. My father wants service. So you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud aviyim. That essay over here is not decha lo isesei. Essay of kibud aviyim is not decha lo isesei of shmira Shabbos. What if my father just, not that he asks me for a cup of coffee, what if he just tells me he wants me to, he doesn't like the way, I tell him I'm going to walk to shul. And walk to shul is a 2-hour walk. He says, why don't you take the car? He's giving me advice. Not that he's asking for services. I want you to take the car. I don't want you to walk to shul. It's too far. So that also, I need a pasuk to say that kibud aviyim is not decha Shabbos, or is that not included in kibud aviyim? So that's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. You have Simon Reish Mem. It's all about kibud aviyim. So the very, you have all the dinim kibud aviyim. You get to the last Ramah, the last line in the Simon. So the Ramah says, if the son fell in love with a girl and he wants to marry the girl, a nice Jewish girl, and the parents object to the shidduch, there's no din of kibud aviyim. It doesn't apply. So the Bi'ur HaGra quotes three different reasons, and we assume that each one of the reasons independently, you don't need the tziruf of all three together, each one of the reasons independently is enough cause to explain why there's no din of kibud aviyim. So one reason the Vilna Gaon gives is that kibud aviyim is only if they ask for service. The father asks, could you please give me a cup of coffee? So on the weekdays, I'm chayiv to make him a cup of coffee. My father asks, could you please go shopping? Could you please pick something up? Could you please take the garbage down? That's service. Instead of the father doing the tircha, I have to do it for him. But if my father's giving me advice, he says, I don't want you to marry that girl. It's not a good idea. Marry someone else. That's none of your business whom I marry. You're not asking me what. Why am I to marry a girl is going to service you? What? Why is the father unhappy? Father's unhappy because a Galatiani you're going to marry. You're going to marry Ayeke. Well, it's a busha for the family. If Taka, there's something wrong with the girl, not a galus yana. The girl's not so religious, and it'll be an embarrassment to the parents. So then it's taka a problem of there is an issue of kibir avien. It'll be a busha. So then the achrayim say there is a problem of kibir avien. But just because she's going to be a galus yana or something like that, they don't like the way she looks. I think she's good looking. My parents don't think that she's good looking, so it's none of their business. So that's one independent reason. The kibbut aviyim only applies when you're asking for service. Some assume that maybe not all the Rishonim agree. That's the Rashba in the beginning of Yevamos. Has that comment. Kibbut aviyim is only when the parents are asking for service. Not asking for service, not. So others, the Hafloah, and beginning of Ksubis, suggest that maybe some Rishonim disagree, because maybe it's true, it's not a violation of kibbut. Maybe it's a violation of Mora. My parents want me to become a lawyer, or they want me to become a doctor, and I don't want to. I want to become a rabbi. So is that a din of kibbut aviyim? They tell me whom I should marry, and what I should do for a living, and which school I should go to, and where I should live. They want to chart out all of my life. So in Shulchan Aruch we assume that they have no right to make such a request. That's an unreasonable request. Each person has a right to lead his life the way he wants to. The parents are not, that's not kibbut aviyim. Kibbut is only service. So some achrayim want to say, but it's still a violation of moira. If you're not obedient, whether the children have to obey their parents or not. So we assume Shulchan Aruch there's no such din. That obedience is not part of kibbut aviyim. Kibbut aviyim is only to give service to the parents. Then the other reason they give is, the son wants to get married. He's already in his 20s, he wants to get married. And the parents tell him, no, we don't like the shidduch. So they say no, so right away he's going to marry the other girl. No, it's not going to be so fast. It'll take him a long time till he meets another girl whom he thinks is good for him. So the parents are telling him not to fulfill a mitzvah. He's holding now by fulfilling a mitzvah, of getting married and raising a family. And the parents tell him, don't do the mitzvah. So whenever kibbut aviyim is in conflict with any mitzvah, not only with Shemira Shabbos, whenever kibbut aviyim is in conflict with any mitzvah, even a mitzvah midirabbanan, even a minig, so you don't observe kibbut aviyim. In Shulchan Aruch they discuss, I think the Mechaber quotes this din. Let's say the mother passed away and the son wants to say Kaddish, and the father has the heebie-jeebies. Why is he saying Kaddish? I'm still here. He's saying Kaddish because the mother died. So it says that even though reciting of Kaddish is not even a din derabbanan, it's only a minig. So the kibbut aviyim, and the father feels hurt. The father is scared that his son is saying Kaddish. He died in the same shul with the father. So it says the father has no right to tell his son to violate the minig. Since the minig to recite Kaddish when a parent dies is such a universal minig, so that's kibbut aviyim against the din. Whether it's against the din deraisa like Shabbos, or against the din derabbanan, or against the minig. Unless it's a minig that hardly anybody has. Let's say there are people who fast after Pesach, Sheni v'chamisha v'sheni. So this son, he's going to fast Sheni v'chamisha v'sheni. So the father says, I'd like to take you out to lunch next Thursday. Son says, I can't go out for lunch, Sheni v'chamisha v'sheni, he's fasting. So since hardly anybody fasts Sheni v'chamisha v'sheni, so he should go with the father. The kibbut aviyim takes precedence over a minig if it's a minig that's not so widespread.
If the son was makabel himself, like we did Nender, then it really would be a problem.
Yeah, then it would be a problem. But if he wasn't makabel yet, then the proper thing is that's what they say in Shulchan Aruch. Depends how nafutz the minig is. The minig of saying Kaddish is such a widespread minig that so the kibbut aviyim does not take precedence over there. Moshe Enikain, the meaning of fasting, that's not so widespread. Even in the days of the Shulchan Aruch is not widespread. Today, for sure, it's not widespread. So there, kibbut aviyim would take precedence. So that's the second reason that they give. There's no kibbut aviyim if the parents object to the shidduch, because they're telling him to postpone performing the mitzvah. He wants to do the mitzvah of getting married now. Then the third explanation that they give is also very interesting. The din is, the Gemara has a discussion, is kibbut mishal av or mishal bein? They say, my father wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he tells me, Harshala, I'd like to go visit Eretz Yisrael. I say, okay, give me your credit card and I'll be happy to make all the arrangements. He says, no, kibbut aviyim. You use your credit card. I should buy the ticket and I should drive him to the airport and I should arrange for the hotel. I should pay for everything. So the din is that Shaila in the Gemara. Gemara comes to the Kibbut Ab is Mishal Ab, lo Mishal Ben. The son doesn't have to spend money on Kibbut Ab. The son has to take a day off to drive the father to the airport, even though they're going to dock me from my pay. Because dock me from my pay means Menias HaRevach. I'm not going to make money that day. When you're servicing your parents, of course you're not going to be able to make money when you're servicing the parents. But the parents, there's no din that I'm mechuyif to lay out money. I'm not mechuyif to spend money on kibbut aviyim. So the Vilna Gaon presents these three reasons. Each one of them is sufficient reason. Since kibbut av is mishalab, alo mishalbein, the son is not mechuyif to spend money. So here, the son fell in love with this girl. He's going to be heartbroken. So heartbroken is the same as losing money. You're not mechuyif to lose out. In order to fulfill kibbut av, it has to be within reason. Has to be within reason. If it's unreasonable, let's say the children are married and they live in California and their parents live in New York, and the mother says she doesn't feel well, she'd like her daughter to come back to New York to help her. The daughter has already 9 children and she lives in California. So the daughter's mechuyif to fly back to New York to service the mother. Who's going to take care of the children? So whenever it's unreasonable, then there's no din of kibbut av. The din of kibbut av is only when the parents are making a reasonable request. The son is not mechuyif to spend money. The children are not mechuyif to spend money. Kibbut av not mechuyif to have their heart broken. It has to be within reason. So all three are accepted lalacha. Each one of the three reasons is sufficient reason to explain why the kibbut aviyim is still noig bizman hazeh. You look around, you get the impression as if it's not no longer noig. It's from Aseres HaDibros. People don't realize from Aseres HaDibros, it didn't chomer. Yeah.
Why should it be different? Because we don't say a person has to spend chomesh in the chasov. Why should it be different here?
The Gemara says, "Hukash kvoidem lekvoid hamakan." Just like the mechabed the Rabban Shlalom, it does mean you have to spend money. So kibbut aviyim also does mean you spend money.
You do spend money
for mitzvahs, but not for kabedes Hashem. Kabedes Hashem mehoncha. It says mehoncha from your money. I don't know. The Gemara has a drasha from a pasuk that kibbut av is not nishal bein. The son doesn't have to spend money. He has to forfeit earning money. He has to take off time from work, and they're going to dock him from his pay. He has to forfeit earning money, but he doesn't have to spend money. Rav Soloveitchik told over this story that once a man who lived in Brisk was notified that his father is dying in Warsaw, and on his deathbed the father would like to see his son one more time. So the son, in order to travel from Brisk to Warsaw, would have to spend a fortune of money. So the son asked Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he doesn't think he's mechuyif to go because kibbut av is mishalav ulo mishal bein. He's not mechuyif to spend money. So he said, the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, you're right, you should go by foot. So what does that mean? So Pashim Pshat is that he's kidding. You're an idiot. All right, you're right. Strictly speaking, there's no din of kibbut av. But how can your father's on his deathbed? And he's asking that he'd like to see his son one more time. So how can you be so mean? How can you be so cruel? So it's not midin kibbut av. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva where he discusses the following shiloh. There's a din of makah aviyim, right? So the Gemara has a discussion in Sanhedrin on Daf Pei Gimel, Pei Dal. Gemara has a discussion. What if the son is a doctor or a dentist? Is he permitted to treat his parents knowing that it's going to cause bleeding? Is there a prohibition of makah aviyim? It means hakol sheyesh bo chavola, that there's a bleeding, a little bit of bleeding. So it's a stir in the Gemara. It's a contradiction between the two Gemaras. One Gemara says mut, and one Gemara says osa. So how do you put together the two Gemaras, one daf after the other? How do you put together the two Gemaras? So they're different opinions. So the accepted opinion, the way it says in Shulchan Aruch, is the Rif and the Rambam. I quote in Shulchan Aruch that min haTorah it's mutter, because it's a derech refuah is mutter. But mit the Rabbanon, it's usur if ika acher, if there's another doctor available and he can do the job just as well as I can. So, we don't permit the son to do it because Gzeira de Rabbanan, he may make an extra scrape to cause an extra, a slight amount of bleeding unnecessarily. Whatever bleeding he causes, the dentist treats the gums or whatever. So he causes a little bleeding. So the bleeding that's necessary, absolutely necessary, so that's mutter, that's not called makar bima. Gzeira de Rabbanan, if there's another, there's another doctor available, so let the other doctor do it, and you shouldn't treat the parent. Gzeira that you may scratch unnecessarily. So the shayla is, the mother needs dental treatment, a medical treatment. And with the Rabbanan, the son is not allowed to treat the mother, so she has to go to a doctor, so it's going to cost money now. So who has to pay? So one would have thought, kibbutz is mishalav alo mishal bein. The son is not mechuyev to spend money. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a chu about this. He says no. And he gives this as a mashal. He doesn't say Rav Chaim. He just says, let's say the father's on his deathbed and the father wants the son to go. He says, strictly speaking, the son can walk. He can walk. Except that if he'll walk, after take off from work for 3 weeks, a week and a half to walk from Brisk to Warsaw, the father may die in a week and a half, and then a week and a half to go back, then he'll have to buy another pair of shoes, and his legs will be killing him, and his shoes will be ruined. So the son theoretically can fulfill a kibbutz av without spending a penny. So why does he want to take a ticket on the train? The toivus atzmo, not the toivus to kibbutz av. Kibbutz av he'll be able to do without spending a penny. He'll have to take off from work 3 weeks. So that you mechuyev to take off from work, and they should dock you from your pay. That you mechuyev to kibbutz av nishalav alo mishal bein. You're not mechuyev to spend money from your pocket, but not to earn money in order to do the kibbutz av. You want mechuyev. So strictly speaking, you can fulfill a kibbutz av. You can fulfill a kibbutz av without spending a penny. The only thing is that you wanna protect your feet. You wanna protect your shoes. So you're spending money for the ticket for the train. That's l'tovas atzmachon. That's not for the sake of kibbutz av. So the din of mishalav alo mishal bein doesn't apply. So he says over here, the son is a doctor. The son is a dentist. He knows how to treat the parent. So in Torah, he's mechuyev to treat the parent. With the Rabbanan, there's a gzeira to protect the son from violating an iser. He may scratch, he may cause slightly more bleeding than is absolutely necessary. So he wants to have his mother go to a different dentist. It's going to cost money. In Torah, the son can treat the mother. There's a chashash. The son may violate, whatever he'll do will be beheta. But he may violate an iser. So the son doesn't want to violate an iser. That's his problem. That's not for the sake of kibbutz av. So you don't want to violate an iser by scraping slightly, a little bit unnecessarily. So you got to pay money for that. So he said, this is not the same as mishalav alo mishal bein. It's a very interesting analysis of the situation. So he gives the same mashal with the son who lives in one city and the father lives in another city. He explains why al pi din. It's not in contradiction to the din of mishalav alo mishal bein. Because theoretically he can walk there. And the whole reason why he wants to take the train is to protect his legs and to protect his shoes. The Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim talks about lying. It's a big avera. Loisig noivu. You're not allowed to lie when it comes to mammonis. If I owe money to someone and I deny owing the money and I don't pay, then I'm in violation of loisig chachash or loisig shakar ish b'amisa. If you tell a person I don't owe you money and I don't pay, so not only am I in violation of gambling, either loisigzal or loisignoy, both. Pasuk Yud Aleph has loisig naivu, and Pasuk Yud Gimel has loisigzel. Either it's one or the other. And if I lie, I'm in violation of another other. But if somebody asks me what I do for a living and I tell them a lie, that's not included in this Pasuk. This Pasuk talks about lying not to pay money. If I'm lying about something that's not relevant to Dina Mamidis, the Gemara in Kiddushin learns that out from a different Pasuk. That's a Pasuk in Triyosa. The Jewish people don't tell lies, and that's based on the pasuk of a halachta bedrachov. We assume HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the people, B'Tzelem Elokim. And because we already have this Tzelem Elokim, all people have Tzelem Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have commanded the Umos HaOlam also, but he didn't. Commanded Bnei Yisrael v'halachta v'drocha, we should preserve the Midas of Elokus that were implanted within us at birth. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, one of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu has is Midas HaEmes. The Gemara has a statement that a note flew down from heaven and had the word Emes on it. And the Gemara says that the Tanoim assumed that it was signed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Balama shechasam shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. When he signs a letter, he signs his name Emes. So Emes is one of the Midas, perhaps the most important Midah of Elokus. Chasam shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That's his Chasima. So if that's part of Tzelem Elokim, so the Halacha B'drach requires, we should all be Anshei Emes. We should all preserve all the Midas of Elokus that we have within us. So then, when it comes to Midas, so then the Gemara says sometimes there are contradictions between Midas. There's so many different Midas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Midas are Anova. So what do you do by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Somehow the Midas are not in contradiction with each other. By human beings, sometimes there's a contradiction, conflict between different Midas. So let's say Midas are Anova versus Midas are Emes. Someone asks me, am I the greatest Torah scholar of the generation? So I have to tell the truth. Midas are Emes, yes, absolutely, yes. So what's with Midas HaNava? What's with Midas HaNava? So the Gemara says, whenever there's a conflict between Midas HaNava and Midas HaEmes, so Midas HaNava takes precedence. The Gemara says, the Mesichta, if they ask a person, do you know this Mesichta? And he knows it, he's allowed to tell a lie and say he doesn't know. He's allowed to tell a lie for the sake of HaNava. Or Mishum Tznius. They want to know, did his wife go to mikveh? So what is it there, Asik, whether the wife went to mikvah, is going to be with his wife or not? So the Gemara says, Bepuria, so it's preferable to tell a lie. The public doesn't have to know the truth all the time. Whenever the Midas by human beings always have, often have contradictions. There's a conflict between Midas HaNova, Midas HaEmes. They tell the story about Reb Heskel Abramsky. He was once in court in England, when he lived in England for a few years. So the judge asked him, is it true that you're one of the greatest scholars of the generation? He says, absolutely, one of the greatest Torah scholars. So the judge was taken aback. So he said, Rabbi, isn't there a milah to have humility? So he said, but judge, I'm under oath. He has to tell the truth. Absolutely the greatest scholar of the generation. Okay, so if you're under oath, maybe it's different. But if you're not on the road, then the Gemara says the Midas HaNova takes precedence over a Midas HaEmes, even if it happens to be the Midas HaEmes. Yeah. That's what someone wanted to know. Cheating on an exam. So if I'm gonna cheat on an exam and get some honor at graduation that someone else deserves, so that's Mamasha Mapsid the other guy. So that's an Iser. I'm stealing the kibud that someone else deserves. Let's say I'm not stealing any kibud. I just cheat on the exam. I'm not stealing anyone else's kibud. So what's the Iser? So it's an Iser Midos. So someone wanted to know, is he allowed to cheat on the Bechina in order to get into a good Shia next year? Interesting, Shaila. Okay. In one of the tshuvas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner that's printed in the Sefer Chut HaMeshulosh has the tshuvas of the three Rosh Yeshiva from Volozhin. As Rav Chaim Volozhiner is, the first third is Rav Chaim Volozhiner, then it has from his son-in-law Rav Hillel and from Rav Lezer Richa, also a son-in-law. The three Rosh Yeshiva and Volozhiner Yeshiva. So one of the tshuvas, some of the tshuvas he quotes things from the Vilna Gaon that are more famous than the other tshuvas. And one of the tshuvas, he quotes from the Vilna Gaon, that the Gaon said, if a person is convinced that the Shulchan Aruch made a mistake, then you're not allowed to follow the Psak and the Shulchan Aruch. How many people can be so convinced that the Shulchan Aruch made a mistake? The Vilna Gaon, every so often, was convinced that the Shulchan Aruch made a mistake. So he says, and if one follows the Shulchan Aruch, even though he's convinced that Rabbi Yosef Kara made a mistake, he's in violation of the lab lo seder pnei gadol. It says when you have a din Torah lo sasa avol b'mishpat, you're not allowed to paskin ibus adin, you have to paskin fairly. Lo sisa pnei dol, let's say one is a poor man and one is a wealthy man. The wealthy man, he's a multimillionaire. What does he need another $5 for? So let me paskin in favor of the poor man. He should give him charity anyway. So you're not allowed to say that. La sisa fenei dol. You're not allowed to favor the poor man because it's a rachmanis. I remember there was once a din Torah here in the yeshiva. One side was the Miri yeshiva in Yerushalayim, and they had hired headhunter to get someone to do the fundraising in America, and they said there's going to be an exclusive. An exclusive means that even if they get someone on their own, they still have to pay him. So they got someone on their own who's doing a good job. I think he still has a job now. So the headhunter said they agreed that it's going to be an exclusive, so they have to pay him. So there was a din Torah ban. So our paskin in favor, they came here. I don't know exactly why they came here. So I paskin in favor of the headhunter that he's entitled to get paid, but then I said we have to support the yeshiva. So I made out a check for a few $100 for the yeshiva. So the headhunter understood that he should also give a donation to the yeshiva. So he gave back most of the money that they gave. But you're not allowed to say, well, the yeshiva needs money, so I'll paskin in favor of the yeshiva. You're not allowed to say like that. If the poor man loses, he loses. You have to paskin against him. And then you have to say to the rich man, but you should give him some tzedakah. And then it says, well, I said, let's say one of the two parties is a rabbi. One of the two parties is a choshev balabas, a very bekovedik person. So how can I cause him to lose the din Torah? Let me paskin in his favor. And then later on, I'll tell the other guy that it's not really right that he should really pay him the money. So you're not allowed to paskin like that. You have to paskin tzedek tishpatam yisach. You have to paskin what's right is right. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said. If you're convinced, the Vilna Gaon was sometimes convinced that the Psak and Shulchan Aruch is incorrect. So if you're convinced that Rabbi Yosef Kara made a mistake and you paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, you're in violation of Laseda Pnei Godel. You're paskin like Rabbi Yosef Kara because he was such a prominent rabbi, even though you know that he's wrong. You're not allowed to paskin like that. Nope. So every couple of generations, you have someone who's very outstanding in learning, was great like the Vilna Gaon, he's convinced that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong. Most people are not so convinced. Torah has two separate lavim. One is on Lashon Hara, one is on Rechilas. Letzelech Rachel Bamecha is Rechilas, and Lashon Hara is a different is. Rechilas means, I come and I tell you what he said about you. You were giving a public lecture and I'm sitting next to him. He said, what an idiot, what a moron. He says such stupid things. So I tell you what he said about you. That's called rechilus. And Lashon Hara is, if I was listening to a lecture, and I go and I tell you, said, how was the lecture? I say, awful, he's an idiot, he's stupid, he doesn't know how to talk. But that's called Lashon Hara. Unless it's l'ta'elis l'habo, unless you want to know, is he a good speaker? I want to know, should I go to the Shavuos program or not? Should I listen to his shir or not? So I say, don't listen to his shir. He never knows what he's talking about. Okay? So if it's Nageya Lahaba, then you have to tell the truth. But the Chavetz Chaim has a whole sefer, so he says, you don't have to tell the whole truth. Let's say it's an esek about a shidduch. So they want to know about a certain boy in the yeshiva. So you have to tell. He cheats on all the exams. He's a slob. He's fat. He doesn't have manners. He's indecent. If you just say he doesn't wash negel vasa, tech dal ramas to the bed, if that's enough to cancel the shidduch, so tell them he doesn't wash negel vasa next to the bed. If that's enough, you only allowed to tell the lashon hara if it's natalis labot to the extent that it's necessary. If it's not necessary, you don't have to give the whole story. I remember someone once called me up. They wanted to know about a certain boy from the yeshiva who taka never got married. He died already. He never got married. He's really meshuga, absolutely crazy. So a girl called me up on the phone. She was an older girl, he was an older boy, so she wanted to know about this boy. So I didn't want to tell the girl that he's a meshugana. So I asked, what kind of a boy are you looking for? I said, give me a description of the boy. So she gave me a description. I said, he doesn't match your description. Sure. It's not necessary to give all the details. You have to say that he's meshugana. Whatever you're looking for, he's not what you're looking for. So these are two different prohibitions. One is rechilus, one is lashon hara. Most of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, he tells you when it's mutter, when it's a mitzvah to tell a Lashon Hara. He tells you it's also we know without him, but he tells you always when it's mutter, when it's a mitzvah. Sometimes you have to tell Lashon Hara even if you're not asked. The girl's going with a boy, and it's a disaster. The boy's a meshugan; he's going to ruin her life. So you're obligated to tell the truth, even if they don't call you on it, if they don't ask it. You have to say that you're falling in over here; it's not for you. Yeah, the dinam about everything. Okay, this coming Shabbos, I'm going to be the guest in the yeshiva, so they want me to speak on Shabbos morning on the parsha. So I left out a little bit. So we'll have what to discuss on Shabbos morning. Okay. Next week we have to start Chazara, because the final is upon us. No? The final is very soon. Another week and a half.